Let's ask our next guest. Phil Davis is his name. Phil, who would you be tipping in round one, Carlton or Richmond? Good evening to you.
Hey guys. It's actually going to be a great game. I guess everyone was probably thinking Carlton until Richmond had a pretty handy trade period, didn't they? I'd probably tip Carlton, to be honest. I think I'd have to wait and see a little bit more, but maybe Carlton. I think they're ready to go the next step. We'll see how they go.
Did it hurt, or what were you, I'm not sure if you consume Tim Taranto just dominating the Richmond time trial yesterday. Has he always been a good runner, your old teammate?
I did actually just, actually saw that this afternoon, it got sent to me. So I messaged him straight away and saying he's doing similar things, doesn't matter where he goes. He is an outstanding runner. Tim, I'd like to see you run against him, Kane, back in your heyday. He's a great runner. I saw his time on the big clock behind it too, and I know he's got a little bit left in the tank too, from what I could see on that clock. So
what was his time?
I think I saw it was about 6:15. I think I saw on the big screen. Okay. He's got it on grass, Kane, so as fast as a uni loop at Adelaide.
I think I'd still have him covered, Phil. I got him covered by about 35 seconds. But anyway, we'll move on. How's your body?
My body's going. I'm not running 6:15 2Ks, Kane, but. But no, it's going okay. I must admit, incredibly frustrating year last season. But yeah, no, body's feeling pretty good. I must admit, worked a bit with Adam Kingsley already and Nick Poulos just on about trying to make sure that physically I give myself the best chance.
What about the Giants, Phil? And good to have a chat to you again this late in the season. But what's your ambitions and expectations for next season?
Yeah, great question, Jared. It's nice to chat to you as well, mate. I think it's, you know, obviously it's early. It's December and everyone's, you know, very bullish about what they can do and where they're different. I guess from our point of view, last year was almost, you know, a bit of an anomaly in terms of where we finished on 2021 and in previous form. Obviously, we've undertaken a little bit of a list change on top of that. But I guess what we've been doing the last couple of years, particularly since our grand final, is go to the draft with lots of high draft picks and get them in. And I guess from our point of view, a lot of them are now in their second, third, fourth year. And I'm hoping, you know, that they can continue to develop and help us take that next step on top of, you know, that the Isaac Cummings of the world and the Harry Himmelbergs going to another level, you know, the Sam Taylors and hopefully, you know, fit Brent Daniels. And I think, you know, if you look at pure talent, there's plenty on the list. We probably just need to bring it together and probably play in a way that gives us the best chance to compete. And I think Collingwood have probably shown the path where you can go from rags to riches as quickly as possible.
I think that's what's been lost on a lot of people. Yes, you've lost a few players, two in particular. But there's still a lot of young guys coming through that haven't seen a lot of football. And there's a lot of older guys who weren't at their best last year through injury and other issues. So I still think you've got the capacity to challenge for a spot in the eight, although I think that's a stretch for most people's expectations.
Yeah, I think it's always hard to picture your own side not playing finals. I guess that's what I always look at. You know, we don't put any limitations on what we think we can achieve, but I sort of see a path where our team, you know, I think particularly our back line's got a great mix these days.
Yeah.
Probably very unheralded, but I think we've got a really nice mix. Depends if Himmelberg stays down back or goes forward. That's, I guess, up to Kingsley and the coaches to decide. But our midfield is starting to look, you know, more balanced than it has before. You know, the forward line, we've got the best one-on-one player in the game in our forward line. We're probably just going to get a bit more structure around him as well to give him a chance. And, you know, our small forward has been an area that we've been trying to recruit for a while. And, you know, hopefully Brent Daniels is fit. Toby Bedford, got a few other people that can run through there. So I think from that point of view, I can see a path where it really comes together. But one of the big things for us is hopefully Lockie Ash can take the next step. Connor Stone can play more football. Finn Callahan can play some more football. So there's no doubt that I see a path where it really comes well together. But, you know, I think one thing that people forget is when you sort of at that pointy end for a while, you sort of slowly lose key posts in your club, whether that be, you know, Jeremy Cameron and the Hoppers and the just because of, you know, the equalisation measures. And we've had to go from that position to go to the draft, and that's probably where we're at now, is that we're coming out the other side of that, and these young blokes with lots of talent, it's now their time to hopefully take up a fair bit of the load.
Big fan of Himmelberg down back. I thought that move could have been done a couple of years earlier, But it means there's a couple of tools down there. Hogan is a, you put him in the goal square, which brings me to you, Phil. Do you finish your career up in the front half?
I always used to joke with Leon that that was my retirement plan.
Yeah.
Was to be a second ruck forward. But no, I don't think so, Joe. I don't think I've got too many bad habits from being a backman for 15 years. I'm not sure I could shake it. But no, I don't know. We'll see. I'll see whatever, to be honest, whatever the coach wants me to do, whatever's best for the team, I'll have a go at. I would never say no. I was drafted as a forward way back when, and then it's been a while since. But no, I think, you know, it depends what the role is and all those things, but I wouldn't say no to it. There's definitely a part of me that enjoys the freedom that comes with the forward line. But yeah, we'll see how it pans out, but maybe I'll throw that one up at match committee pretty soon.
We've been discussing a little bit, Ronaldo on Messi tonight and the hard fact of ageing and perhaps Ronaldo isn't handling it as best as he possibly could, and all athletes have to go through it. You've done a couple of brutal hamstring injuries, Phil. Like, there's hamstring injuries, there's nicks, and then there's big bang. I got shot by a sniper in the stands. Did retirement certainly would have crossed your mind, but what was the catalyst for you opting to go on and having that confidence in your body that you can hold up for 15 games next year?
Yeah, it's a good point, Kane. It's all very much things you think about. I guess from my point of view, the first one I did, you know, and both of them, to be honest, well, particularly the second one was just a terrible landing. Got my leg caught, which wasn't ideal. And even the second one, I don't know what I was doing, trying to chase someone down. But no, I just think fundamentally for me, I felt physically very good before the first one. Like, I felt like as good as I'd been a couple of years after I hurt my knee quite badly out of 2020. And then I was really happy with how I was playing, and then obviously hurt myself. And then I came back and felt really good. The surgery went really well. I was really happy with Julian Fellow and how that worked, and felt like I came back and played 3 or 4 really good games again. I felt like I was able to do what I wanted to do. And then obviously this one, the more recent one, was obviously back in the year, which finished my season. And I guess from my point of view, when I was sort of weighing it all up, I sort of had, one, I had great confidence in the surgeon and what he did for the first one. Two, I had confidence in myself and my ability to rehab and get fit. But to be honest, the real decision to go on again was more around my conversations with Adam Kingsley and Dave Matthews, just sort of hearing that, you know, the role that they were really keen for me to come back and play, and they were really keen to get me back, you know, obviously from a playing point of view, but also just from, you know, being around the club. And I guess that was the sell for me, because I was pretty content that, you know, as sad as it was to have to retire, I was content that may have been the best decision for me, you know, physically and also mentally, because, you know, the toll that the game takes on you. But I must admit, you know, having those conversations with those two, the new coaching group, the young playing group, was probably something that really got me in the mindset that I could go again and contribute. And, you know, I think the hardest thing is that, you know, you sort of go away and you just think you're 28 in the prime of your career the whole time. There's no doubt you do slow down. But, you know, for me, I've always just tried to counter that with being smarter, reading the game faster and doing all those sort of aspects a bit better. So I still believe I can perform and play quite well, but I also know that I can add value off the field. You know, we talk about your brother, Chad, when he went up to the Giants in 2012. It'll be a little bit different to that, probably less formal coaching, but there's an element of that that I've learned from watching him and Dean Brogan and Luke Power and James McDonald, that, you know, I feel like I can have some merit and also play good footy. You know, Chad would have been top five in the best and fairest that year. So that's probably the bit that got me back. That's probably where I go. I hope I explained that relatively well.
Yep.
And so what are we expecting to see by way of the style of game plan that you're looking to implement under the new coach?
Yeah, we've only had very preliminary conversations on that, Jared, but I think initially all I can tell you is that we're definitely going to increase our pressure around the ball. I think that's probably an area that we've been disappointing in. You know, historically, we've been a side that contested ball has been a very big strength, and then, you know, we were at our best, we were able to move the ball really efficiently and counter-attack and score from stoppage were probably our two main areas. And probably more recently, we've given up a lot of inside 50s and our pressure on the ball hasn't been great. So that's definitely an area that Kingsley's come in and been very strong on. that we need to defend better. I think that's a pretty acute observation. I think everyone from outside the four walls can see that too. But there's no doubt we're going to be exciting. I think with the amount of talent we've got and the desire, and now the, you know, I think a more evenly spread list across the ground, we're in a position where hopefully we can play a brand of footy that our fans are very excited about.
Speaking of which, the club looks like it needs a reset. 2 years away from crowds with COVID has knocked around your crowds probably more so than any. And you've never had big crowds, but I mean, it got to a level last year that was just not good enough. What's the plan from a club perspective that you're going to be able to put in place to sort of rebirth the club, if you like?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think if you look all around, especially in New South Wales, the return to attendances for all sports hasn't been that strong. Even down in Victoria, there was definitely a sluggish start. And from your time in Sydney, Jared, that we need to be playing better football. You know, there's a lot of competition up in Sydney for our attention, and being away for 2 years, we played four games in Canberra last year as well, which we love. Our attendances there were very strong, but particularly when we play at home, there's no doubt that we won. Need to be playing better football, but I think more importantly, we're very excited for the opportunity now with appearances and getting back into the community. But that's on the table again after, you know, a long period of time where, you know, COVID has interrupted that. So I think being able to reconnect with the community, get more in fan engagement, and also on our end play much better football as well, will no doubt help that. But I think fundamentally, you know, the AFL, we need to continue to invest in New South Wales. You know, participation rates continue to go up, but we need to keep working and making that go faster, but also turning participation into fans and attendance is a big challenge. I think we've got to make sure fundamentally, as an industry, we're supporting New South Wales and Queensland, because it is definitely the future of growth in the game. You can't, you know, obviously we're talking about Tasmania, which is great, but that's already a football heartland, and yep, it's going to be great to explore if that's the way. But we can't just give up on New South Wales and Queensland and not continue to invest, because it's fundamentally important for the growth of the game going forward for everyone involved.
Would you like to see a blockbuster game of sorts against, say, Collingwood or Richmond, who are going to guarantee a crowd, and play to the SCG?
Yeah, it's a big question. I've always thought, Joe, that maybe the interstate team should get one extra home game a year, and the Victorians should give one up and potentially do something like that just to make a little bit of comparativeness when it comes to flying time. That could be an avenue, is if Richmond wanted to give us their home game, we play at the SCG. There's an idea I haven't thought about too much, Joe, but that's one. But yeah, I think we love playing at Giant Stadium. That is our home ground. That's definitely our preferred ground. But, you know, I think the idea of playing the SCG is probably one that I haven't made too much of a thought. But maybe that idea that we get an extra home game a year and it's played at the SCG, technically it's Collingwood, that could be a solution. However, Giant Stadium will always be our home ground. I think we've got to keep on coming back to there.
Yes or no, because we're nearly out of time. One word, does Aaron Cadman start round one?
Gee, I haven't seen enough of him, Dave, but let's go for ambitious and say yes.
Let's do that. Phil, we always appreciate you having us, you on our program, I should say. Good luck for the rest of the year. No doubt we'll speak to you before round one.
Thanks, Kane. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Phil Davis is now seventh on the Giants' all-time games list. Played a few games at Adelaide, of course, but he's closing in on 200 games. He joined us, got another really special guest on the other side of this. You are listening to Sports Day, and we'll be back with plenty more right after this.